One of the Christmas songs we sing starts, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." And yet, the world today lives in a joyless existence. What is joy? When you ask people, if you ask people what is the difference between joy and happiness, most people would say that they are the same or mean the same thing. I've been talking to young people these days about joy, happiness, and meaningful existence than ever before. That's because they ask. They want to know what is going to happen in their life. What is joy? What are they missing in life? They've tried everything. We live in a society, in a world today, that everything is so instant, and everything is available, and everything is accessible, and yet young people and even older men and women have realized that something really is missing. So people think that joy and happiness are the same thing. In fact, there is a big difference between the two. Joy is not the same as pleasure or happiness. In Hebrew, joy is chadva, and it means rejoicing, gladness, joy. In Greek, the word is chara, and it means gladness. But real joy, gladness, does not depend on our circumstances and our emotions. Happiness is a state of mind. Joy is a state of the heart. Happiness depends on what happens. Joy does not. You may say, what are you talking about? Happiness depends on what happens. Joy does not. You may feel happy because something happened, or someone is coming, or you feel good today. It's conditional, this happiness. But joy is unconditional. Pleasure generally comes from the things and through the senses. It comes from things and the senses. Happiness comes from humans. From humans through fellowship and conditions. Pleasure as senses, happiness as from something that comes from people or conditions. But joy comes from loving God and others. Pleasure is quick and often violent, like a flash of lightning. Like a flash of lightning, but it could be very destructive. And I've shared examples from the pulpit of people who have come to me and said, I'm devastated. My life has been ruined because I tried this. And it gave me quite a bit of pleasure. And yet, after a while, that pleasure turned to pain. And disappointment and discouragement. Pleasure is like a lightning. It just, you see it for a moment and then it's gone. But the destruction that follows is sometimes devastating and without and you cannot change what happens. And again, I was thinking of what I saw on internet and television about this thing that came, a piece of stone or rock that came from the skies and went into Siberia. It was the size of a bus, they said. And the destruction that brought was devastating. Thousands or more than 1,000 people were going through a difficult period of time, injured, and houses were destroyed. And yet, while it was coming, was beautiful light. Joy is steady and lasting like a fixed star. Pleasure depends on external circumstances such as money, food, physical relationships, etc. Joy does not depend on them. It comes from our heart and God's presence in our life. I don't know whether everyone agrees or disagrees, but you cannot have joy without a supernatural touch in your life. We are not capable of having a joy all the time. We are not capable of loving all the time. We are not capable of feeling happy all the time. But we are able to receive the power and the help that we need to have joy even during terrible circumstances. Once someone said, I would like to give, and I'm paraphrasing the story, I just want to make a point, said, there will be a competition. The best drawing that you draw, people draw, will receive so much money. And the competition started, and people were drawing all kinds of scenery, a very peaceful ocean, all kinds of situations, a mother with a baby, and trees, and beautiful sky. And then there was one picture, one painting of a sea and some rocks. And the sea was wild, and it seemed was very noisy, although you couldn't hear the noise. You could see all this turmoil. And people came and said, what is this? What is this? Is the, and I'm sorry, the competition or was about peace, to describe peace. What is peace? How do you draw a picture to say this is peace? And when people looked at that painting, they said, what kind of peace is this? And yet they didn't realize there was a little hole in the rug, and a little bird was there just singing as if nothing was happening. So this painter, this person, put that little bird in that little cave or little hole, saying that that's me. Even though everything else seems so upside down, I still have the joy and the peace. And that was the picture that won. A person can have joy in terrible circumstances as he or she would have when things are going well. In Psalm 51, we have a king confessing his sins, his situation. King David humbles himself and prays for forgiveness and cleansing. He wants to get right with God. I believe that there probably was a typographical mistake here. The portion that we were going to read would have been Psalm 51, 1 to 17. So if you want to make a note of that, when you go home, you can read it. Psalm 51, 1 to 17. David wants the joy of his salvation restored. Because he had known and enjoyed the joy of salvation before. The word restore here indicates that he had possessed it before. If he had never experienced the joy of God, if he had never experienced the joy of being connected with God, if he had not been a member of the family of God, he would not now say, please God, restore the joy of my salvation. He had lost it. Why? Because of sin. Listen to his prayer. Have mercy on me, O God. according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Here we have an inside view of a man getting right with God. And I believe what is missing today in our families, in our hearts, in our lives, in our society is confessing that we have failed and that we have to make things right with God so our relationship with our Creator may be restored. People are trying to see, to find out where we came from. And they just want to pick up a little stone, a rock, and then analyze it and see whether there is any indication that there is some kind of life form somewhere in the universe. And if one of the commentators was writing, and if they find something to indicate there was life somewhere, that will mean that we know where we came from. That is stretching it. I mean, here we have the Bible and we have God speaking to us every day and still we're looking to, searching to find where we came from. When I saw this huge light and the speed that was coming down, for a moment I said, what if 10, 20, 100 of those came down? Would they analyze and see where they came from? No, they wouldn't know. They don't even know where it came from. They didn't even know that it was coming. That's how it will be when God comes, when Jesus comes. It just will happen. I believe we can all identify with David because we also have failed. When David confessed to God his sins, things changed. I mean, look at David. David was one of the most popular kings. David was rich. David had gifts. David was respected and loved. David had a wife or more. And he was on the throne just ruling, and his people were winning wars. And yet a woman's sight tempted him. And you say, oh, yeah, I never done that. Oh, yes, you have never looked at your neighbor's wife or husband and said, I wish I had him instead of my husband or my wife. Or maybe you saw something else, a beautiful looking dress, and you said, I wish I could have it. We all have been tempted. And if the devil tempted Jesus three times, you think the devil is not tempting you. He is tempting me daily, all the time. And yet, we have the ability through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and because we have been connected to God, to say no. The Bible says, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. O Lord, the King, and I'm quoting now David after he spoke to God and confessed his sins. O Lord, the King rejoices in your strength. How great is his joy in the victories you give. It's only when the prodigal son returned back home, he realized what he really was taking for granted. While he was at home with his father, he complained. The food probably wasn't good enough. The work was hard. His brother wasn't treating him well. His mother, his father. And he wanted more money. He wanted more entertainment. He wanted everything. And when he left, he had everything he wanted. He got more entertainment. He got money from his father. And he went everywhere he wanted to go. And he did everything. And yet, at the end, he felt so dead. And he found himself with pigs, eating what pigs were eating. Well, that's what sin does. That's what happened with David. David had everything in his father's home, well, in his kingdom. And yet he committed adultery, he committed murder, cover up, and then for 1 year pretended nothing had happened. And the Bible says his bones were wasting away. He had lost the joy, he had lost the song from his lips. He could not write anymore, he could not read the scriptures, and he was miserable. Until a prophet came and told him his disease, his sickness was cover up and unconfessed sins. And then David says, "O Lord, the king rejoices in your strength. How great is his joy in the victory." Rabbi Shlomo Kalibash says, and I quote, "Joy is the strongest vitamin because joy makes you strong in a million ways, physically, mentally, and spiritually. There are all kinds of strength, and the highest level of strength which a person needs to live in the world is joy." Chara. There is a good reason why a true believer has this joy. The joy of forgiveness. I don't know about you, but when someone, it's from my experience too, when I have confessed my sin to God, or when I confessed something to my wife or to my children, all of a sudden that weight is lifted and I feel so much better and I feel closer. But when I hide something from her, I can't even look in her eyes. Because I'm guilty, because I'm under the curse of sin, and until I confess that sin, I will remain under that until I lift my eyes to God and ask for forgiveness. And that thing is gone. That's a miracle. People say, "Well, it's all in your mind." Yes, it is in my mind. That's why I ask God to brainwash me. And I'm happy that God washed my brain from all the stuff that were polluting my mind. Now I've got problems with my body. I have, the devil attacks my body, my brain, and yet now I have enough tools, instruments, and I have God to help me fight the good fight. The joy is lasting joy of forgiveness. Then the joy of assurance of salvation in heaven. When I speak to people who come from a different religion or religious group, for example, in Greece, when I would ask someone, or even today here, I would ask, "What's going to happen when you die? Do you believe that you'll go to heaven?" "Well, I don't know. I'm a good person. I practice. I do this. I go to church. I give to the poor. And it's all up to God. I don't know." Now, if that's how it is, then we should be very miserable, because we don't know. No matter how much good work, how many good works we do, or how much we do, unless we have the assurance of our salvation, still we'll be miserable. Now, when I ask my wife, "Do you love me?" and she hesitates to say yes, I'm disturbed. Why isn't she saying, "I love you"? Quinton, you're laughing because you are a romantic man. But that's how it is. We want to have that assurance that someone loves us. And we want to have the assurance that when we die, not if we die, when we die, we'll be in heaven with God. Why? Because he promised. On the other hand, that promise to some is not conditional, to others is conditional. All I say is this. Jesus said, "If you want to follow me, follow me." You cannot say, "I love you" to God and serve someone else. Number three, the joy of the presence of the Lord in your daily life. Now, this is what we've been talking also in our adult class. Someone said this morning that when we are connected all the time with God, or God is in our daily life, then that assurance of our salvation and the joy of our salvation is always there, regardless whether we fall or fail in some ways, we do have the assurance that God is willing to forgive us when we confess. The joy of finding the answer to life. I don't know, if you don't have the answer of what life is, and you're still searching to find the purpose of your existence, then that is not a joyful existence. But because I believe that somehow in His wisdom, God has created us on this earth and placed us on this earth, I don't understand all His thoughts and the reasons, but I know one thing, He's in control of my life, He's in control of this earth. If He wanted for this earth to be destroyed just like that, He would have said, the law of gravity, stop. And you know what was going to happen? This earth would just, I don't know what was going to happen. And yet God has a thermostat. He adjusts the temperature. He adjusts the time of the sun. And yet people don't want to believe in Him. So because I know that there is a purpose for my being here, I have that joy. The purpose is to enjoy whatever life God has given me, but also to worship Him and make sure that I help someone else to find Him and worship Him. And finally, the joy of knowing that God cares for each one of us. Now this joy is available to us through Jesus Christ. David lost the joy of salvation, his salvation, and he asked for restoration. Also indicates that he does not have joy now. He did not have joy. David has a lot of company today. Many who were once filled with joy and peace, and they were filled with his presence, now they are filled with gloom and sadness. And this is happening to many Christians even today. You talk to Christians and they are sad. They are discouraged. They are going through depression. And you say, how can a Christian go through a depression? Because we live in a world that the devil has as a mission. His mission is to destroy each one of us. And he will attack. Yes, people going through a difficult period of time may bring sadness. But that sadness should not remove the joy of knowing that even if I die today, even if I get sick, I know whom I have believed. I believe in God. I believe that He's in control. I believe that if I don't wake up this morning, in my heart I have this assurance that I will be in heaven. In what kind of a heaven? What kind of body? Where? How? I'll let the theologians talk about that. I only know that I will be in His presence. Many are burdened with guilt and have lost their joy they once had. And I believe this is very important for us to remember that when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, God brought in joy, and now that joy is somehow gone. Many who once were filled with song and gladness, now they are sour and sad. Many have lost the joy of their salvation. David's affair with Bathsheba has robbed David of his joy. The song is gone. He feels lonely and lost. Happy for having what he wanted, Bathsheba, but then he lost his joy. Just for a moment, just for that day, he was thrilled to have this beautiful woman next door, and yet that destroyed his life for a long time. Many can remember better days, do you? Or maybe this is the first time you have the joy first time you have the joy of God's salvation. David longed to have the joy of salvation restored. restore was part of his prayer to get back what he had lost. David prays for his joy to come back again. Sin robs us of our joy. What is the road back to salvation or to receiving joy? It is the road of remembering. It is the road of confession. He prayed for forgiveness. And it is the road of faith, believing that God will forgive and restore. Do you really desire to have that joy again? You can have it. Blessed, and I quote Psalm 32:1. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Have you been forgiven? Do you have the assurance of forgiveness? Your joy will return as you confess your sin to God, but there is a warning to the believer. And I quote 1 Corinthians 10:12. If you think you are standing, listen, be careful, watch out, because you may fall. Have you been a Christian for many years and you feel secure, confident, content, but stagnant and dull? Well, that is not joy. Listen to what Jesus said when he prayed for us in John 17. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them. Jesus is praying to the Father for us to have the full joy that is available. Actually, inactivity takes away joy. Being active in God's service adds to your joy, and you become a blessing to others. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. If you have never experienced the joy of salvation, you can receive it right now through Jesus Christ by inviting him into your life. Nehemiah said, and I quote, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for caring so much and loving us so much to make it possible for us to have joy again. At one time, Lord, joy was part of our life in the Garden of Eden. And then when we were saved, we all started full of new hopes, new dreams, and joy and happiness. And yet, things have come and robbed us or have taken away the joy, the initial joy. And we come to you once again to ask you, please, to restore that joy. And give us the joy and the happiness and the serenity that we need to walk the rest of our journey, knowing that you are with us and have your joy, not only in our heart, but overflowing and helping others to find you. In your blessed name I pray, amen.